All right, Kay, what are you doing this time?
Well, Gary, are you familiar with CRISPR?
Yeah, the DNA designer thing and the drawer where you put things to forget about them, the oubliette of the fridge.
it's the place where you put vegetables to rot.
Yeah, the slow rot. Give them that slow rot. I'm aging this celery. Yeah.
Out of sight, out of mind. Well, actually, I've incorporated both here. I sent away for a CRISPR kit, and I have like a bundle of celery that is right on the edge. And I just figured we could play God. See if that gives us a game.
I'm mostly interested in whether we could, not whether we should. So I think we should go for it.
Yeah. Yeah. We've dipped our toe in here a little bit. I think we made our intern Derek a bug.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a bee. Yeah. He's some kind of bee thing. Yeah. I think we've done CRISPR before too, but like at this point, 636 episodes, like anyone ever wanted to call us on, and more than that with it.
Plus 204.
Like,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, you know, almost 900 episodes. If anyone wanted to call us on reusing shit, politely go to hell. I don't think anyone's gonna do that, but yeah, it's okay.
Yeah. All right. So I guess we're just gonna both make stuff up. It has to be random. I'm not gonna follow the directions. We have a bunch of vials here. We're just gonna put stuff in and different.
Let's not follow the procedure.
No.
Yeah. I'm gonna put in the precursor twice and get me a monstro Eliza celery.
Yeah, I'm gonna do like when you're a kid and you try to make like a potion or like a drink. I'm gonna put some liquid soap in here, crush up some Oreos.
Okay, not like a suicide that you drink it, but just like some stuff.
Yeah, just make a gross liquid. Yeah,
yeah. Oh, right, cool. Well, let's get to CRISPRing.
Okay, we're gonna take out the syringe and gonna put it into the celery. Mm-hmm. Oh, why is it breathing like that, Gary?
Yeah, I never thought that celery should breathe.
No,
as a thing, and maybe that's on me. Like I could be short-sighted, but
I really think that it is the soft bigotry of low expectations for celery, Gary.
Yeah, it is a soft. I've been doing microaggressions against celery for a long time by not respecting it and letting it dry age in the CRISPR.
Yeah. Okay. There's some kind of pod that is growing off the top of it, and it's opening up. It's a DS cartridge. It's Spore Hero Arena.
Ah, there's a second Spore DS game. Which is like, I did not know. We did the other one, right?
No.
Oh, well, shit. Never mind.
I really don't think we did.
No, I could have sworn, but anywho. My name is Gary Butterfield, he, him.
My name is Kay Ross, she, her.
And you're listening to Abject Suffering, where one day you will ache like we ache.
in all senses. And this week we are talking about Spore Hero Arena, a game so unnoteworthy that there's not even a game facts page for it.
I found a game facts.
Oh, you did?
Page for it. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Didn't come up on search.
Yeah, no, it's been shadow banned, but just specifically from you. It's a micro-targeted shadow banned.
Yeah, people are trying to sabotage the show.
Yeah, Spore Hero Arena.
Mm-hmm. This was put in the suggestion machine by Pondo, who says, when I saw the Spore announcement demo, I told everyone I knew that Spore was going to change everything. By the way, Google Darkspore. I recommend Ross Scott's video on what happened. I do not know what happened with Darkspore, although the idea of a Darkspore cracks me up.
The fact that Spore became an extended universe is fucking wild.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's really strange. I played Darkspore because it's co-op. Like, me and Derek fucked around with that.
Mm-hmm.
At some point. It's not good. It's excessively bad. It's like a really shitty kind of Diablo-like. RPG. And that's what the Spore spinoffs are for some reason. Like, Spore truly one of the weirdest games to ever come out.
Yep.
Something I really want to do on WAF at some point because I think it's really interesting.
Yeah.
And then they're like, for every other edition of it, what if it was just an ARPG with a shittier version of the building creature engine?
Yeah. For systems that don't really support it. Like this is like it immediately became shovelware. Insofar as nobody was really asking for it, except for EA, who I think sank so much money into it, that into just Spore in general, they were trying to get as much juice out of it as they could.
Yeah, they had. And the promise of it is fine.
Yeah.
The idea of like an ARPG where you design your creature.
Yeah.
You know, there's a hook there. It's like a real PS2 era hook.
Yeah, extremely PS2 era. We did that Magic Pendjel game, but also there's from the same people the action RPG version of that, which is Graffiti Kingdom.
Yes,
where you're like, you know, painting something and then it animates and comes to life. And in Spore, you're designing creatures by taking like shapes and then kind of like modifying and mutating them and putting them together.
Yeah, which is a thing that in the actual Spore video game is kind of fun for aesthetics, but falls down here and falls down there in terms of it being rarely functional.
Yeah.
Which is kind of the broken promise of Spore. Like the idea of having designed a creature to succeed, you know, is a neat idea.
Yeah.
Creatures have doodads on them for reasons.
Yes.
You know, and Spore presupposes a world where they don't. they just walk around and hit each other and they just have like, you know, racing stripes and like, I don't know, cool fins that don't do anything.
Well, just here are my nodules. I have nodules here. Yeah. It's just bits and bobs dangling and whatnot. It's dispiriting, actually.
Yes.
The way that Spore kind of came out. Do we need to give a short version of the story of Spore?
Spore died. Like it was such hyped. Mm-hmm. So hyped, and it's I don't think people are Spore aware at this point.
Hyped, like this game came out in like 2009. There was a very famous like GDC talk/reveal that Will Wright did, the SimCity guy, Maxis guy, coming out and saying like, hey, this is like my magnum opus here. What if you could make like a life sim where you took a living being from like the cellular stage in primordial goo all the way up to conquering the galaxy? So like starting down at like flow level and then turning it into I don't know, Master of Orion or whatever.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like kind of a lesser version of all of those things.
Yes.
You know, but still kind of neat. Like this, I always forget that Spore reviewed pretty well. Mm-hmm. Like it got hyped a lot, but it got a lot of eights, which was just not acceptable based on the amount of hype.
Yeah. He was up there. He was up there doing Peter Molyneux promises in terms of what would be simulated in this.
The other thing that came up that feels kind of quaint now is a huge controversy over DRM where that got announced, and that ate up a lot of the air of the conversation.
Yeah.
You know, having to activate your game on an EA server and be online during it made everyone real mad.
Boy, it's really funny how we have just so thoroughly lost that war.
Yeah, yeah. Like, there's still soldiers who are still fighting it. like Japanese soldiers still on islands who don't know WW2 ended. But yeah, we lost that. But for a little while we were fighting it.
Mm-hmm.
I will say it doesn't feel that bad to lose it. I don't actually feel.
Yeah,
I didn't get really worked up about it, but if I had, I'd feel a little embarrassed now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's fine. Like there's so much ink spilled about the downsides of it, and you see it like games having their servers pulled or whatever.
Yeah,
not everything has a big enough community to keep it going with unofficial servers and stuff. Yeah,
like if I were just voting against it, I'd say get rid of it. But in terms of practical input, like it's a principle, it's not a practical concern more than anything.
Yeah. So came up short on promises. Had that DRM controversy. And did not make nearly the splash that I think anybody was hoping that it would.
No, it just ended up being, it's a pretty shallow game.
Yes.
You go through these different modes. A lot of times you're decorating, you're kind of doing an ARPG of some sort or a city builder of some sort. And then kind of a space version that is, again, kind of bad Master Orion.
Yeah. And the idea is like, oh, you're designing everything along the way. So like even your buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
Like this is where the bad Sim City that nobody liked that also was always online DRM yes. bullshit. Like the idea of like buildings with modifiers with like different little like annexes that make them serve different purposes. You do that in this the building stage.
You do a little bit of that. But again, like with the creatures, there was less of it than I wanted. It is a lot of adding fins to buildings.
Yeah.
like coming up with a unified aesthetic for your alien culture, I think is one of the, like a genuinely cool thing that has not been done in games.
Yeah.
Like I ended up getting some joy out of playing Spore. Like I liked Spore.
Yeah.
That's largely why, like, oh, my culture, their spaceships have this color scheme and these fins and doodads. Mm-hmm. My creatures have this many chicken neck waddles. on I've made him from beginning to end. That's neat. Yeah. The gameplay just was not good.
Yeah, the gameplay wasn't good. Yeah. Also, like aesthetically, like it was pretty underwhelming to me. Like everything was a blurbis. Just
yes,
the like really bright color, just blobby.
Everything's kind of a balloon animal.
Yeah,
you know, this was also a simulator to make dick monsters.
Yes,
Almost everyone made big cocks and balls.
Mm-hmm.
For this. Yeah. And that was the style at the time, if you don't know.
Yeah.
Late 2000s. In order, you make cock and balls.
Yeah. There was, oh my God. So they made the mistake with this. Like a pre-order bonus for Spore was that you would get the Spore creature creator.
Yeah.
Which was so just like a little preview. You can
upload things to your Sporepedia.
Yep.
Carries over in this.
But just like the number of people who partially maybe had some advice from the store, but like a common practice was like, okay, pre-order this and then just move the pre-order to something else so we can give you this little bonus because mm-hmm. the creature creator is fun to play around with.
Super fun.
And it doesn't cost you money. Right.
Yeah. Super fun. Like there's things to recommend Spore. That will be a WAF episode at some point and will be a fun, good episode, I think.
Yeah.
Nobody talks about Spore anymore.
But from those beginnings, you end up getting these shovelware spinoffs where, you know, you have the Wii hitting at just the right time, the DS just kind of waiting there, ready to accept something like this that is pretty poorly thought through.
Yeah, not very good.
Yep.
It's an action RPG that's kind of in the Spore world where you kind of get to make a balloon animal creature and you walk around an overworld and do different kinds of missions, more or less, like different kind of things you can do, mostly a battle mode. Like you end up doing, you know, eventually I'm seeing from the thing here, I didn't run into this, but there's racing mode.
Yeah.
That works. I didn't get to racing. I get it button pretty fucking quick on this.
I hit a point where I like my eyes glazed over with the text and the cranky guy who gives you the stuff. Like he says something he says something about like, oh, you got to deal with the battery critters. I didn't read it and all of it. And I was just kind of like, okay, I get it. And then I couldn't figure out what to do and you can't talk to him again. So I was like, that's where my journey ends here today.
Yeah. Not great design that. Yeah. But yeah, them going all in on the specific Spore world that is not very interesting was a real problem in a game and franchise that was all about you creating your own version of the sandbox kind of thing. It's pretty boring.
Yeah.
And pretty hard to understand. Doesn't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't look particularly good.
Like something that is really unsatisfying, like you're making the balloon animals or whatever, like the different like dinguses that you put on, like they have, you know, some effect, right? Like, oh, what kind of mouth you have determines if you're a carnivore, an herbivore, or an omnivore.
Yeah.
But that just determines like what kind of health pickup you can use. And
yes,
at least as far as I got, both kinds of health pickup were abundantly available. Beyond that, though, you have the same basic attacks. You've got like a little melee attack. You have a spit, and you can do like a energy shield. And that's all. You are not making wildly different creatures, which is something that even Evo got right, a decade and a half before Spore came out.
Yep. And even though there are, you know, as you mentioned, there are doodads that help, there are also just doodads that do.
Yeah.
You know, as we mentioned. Mm-hmm. Pretty underwhelming.
Yeah.
Disappointing game. Mm-hmm. But the mid and late 2000s were fucking wild. Like it was a wild west time for bullshit. Mm-hmm. Do you remember back in the mid and to late 2000s, if you had a medical emergency, you could call 911, but you could also call nanny 911.
Yeah. And they would come and they would do nothing about your bullet wounds.
Yeah, they didn't do nothing about your bullet wounds, but it was a different alternative. Like, depending on your problem, we're moving towards having a 911 for every problem,
mm-hmm.
starting with nannies.
Yeah.
You know, and then we kind of stopped there, but we could have kept going with that.
We could have. So, yeah, like you get a nanny who comes in to do nothing about your sucking chest wound. Yes. But they're there. You can just dial it.
If you have a sucking son, like if you have a suck-ass little progeny, the super nanny will whip them into shape. You know, uh-huh. or one of the crews of super nannies that worked on Nanny 911 would come and like discipline them for you. Get like Sherry Bobbins on tap.
You had a whole 911 for Reno.
Yeah, exactly. If you were in Reno and you needed anything,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't really necessarily about the function. It was about the location.
Yeah.
You know, there was Rescue 911. That's kind of a specific version of the regular one.
Yeah.
We used to have a bunch of 911s and now we just have the one.
Mm-hmm.
It sucks. It doesn't even work anymore.
There was a spinoff of Nanny 911 called Marriage 911, which was where two spouses hijacked planes.
Yeah.
Fuck, no, stop it. No.
They can't prosecute us together.
Nope. Can't make us testify against each other. Yeah. No. That's there was a show called Marriage 911 that was a spinoff
where you get in a nanny to fix all of your stuff.
Yeah.
I've been watching on YouTube, a YouTube slop that me and Liv have been watching have been compilations of TV shows, either cartoons or sitcoms that didn't last, like lasted like one season from past years. So you get to see a bunch of names of things and you get to be like, who the fuck watches Head Cases? And you learn about head cases and stuff like that. And that reminded me of 9911 because somebody was like fresh off the success of 9911 and tried to do something.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, it's a fun version of YouTube slop. You get to learn about a lot of bullshit, like head cases.
What the fuck is head cases?
A lawyer comedy.
Oh.
You know, with a guy whose name I can't remember now, but like tons of up and coming people who didn't do anything,
right?
You know, lots of everyone talks about the Seinfeld curse, but the Friends curse is also a thing. Like everybody from Friends went on to form a really shitty sitcom.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to see a real young Ray Seahorn in one of them. The first time I've seen her. Yeah, she was like an extra in I think in Head Cases.
Yeah. Let me see here if she is.
Hmm. Yeah.
No, she's not. She's not on the.
She must have been in a different one, but she was in one of the compilations. It's not the kind of visuals you remember.
what do you mean?
It's not the kind of information you retain.
Yeah. Okay. You know? I was just like, oh, was there something about the way all the stuff was shot? Like, am I forgetting a whole aesthetic?
Just YouTube slop.
Yeah.
You know? The developer of this game, Full Fat. Mm-hmm. Also did a game that I've always been kind of interested in, wanted to bring to AS and I haven't done yet, which is Freak Style.
Freak Style. I remember Freak Style. Yeah. Well, part of the glut of extreme sports games.
Yeah.
They just from did the a little GBA bit before version. This. Okay. Yeah,
Freak Style. I always thought about Freak Style.
Yeah.
You know, what a font.
Very memorable cover on that one from the same glut, something that I have intended to bring, not associated with this developer, but Yanya Kabbalista's skate, like fingerboarding or whatever.
Yeah the fingerboarding game is that's necessary. Gotta do that.
Yanya Kabbalista's city skater. I need to know what Yanya's up to.
Yeah, everybody loves Yanya.
Yeah.
This developer is kind of sad. They mostly did GBA and portable ports of games and spin-offs for more popular things. So like it's one of those things where you look at the games they did and you're like, oh, cool. This is the developer behind, you know, Dave Mira Freestyle, but it's the GBA port.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Oh boy. And then like after their console era, they went on. I see at least one unlicensed Android knockoff of a much better game. They have a game called Flippy Pancake.
Oh no.
Yeah, on iPhone, bleak. iPad, Android. Fuck you.
Yeah. That's bleak.
Yeah.
They did do a biker mice from Mars. game though. That also will have to go on here at some point.
Yeah. I have no history with biker mice from Mars.
I don't either, but sometimes I like to bring something to Abject Suffering to learn.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, why did Chipwrecked? Like, I was like, how did those chipmunks get Chipwrecked? Like, I got to know, you know? I don't know. This is a learning show for us and for the audience.
Sometimes it is. People learn alongside us.
Yeah. I love to learn. I love to laugh, you know?
Full Fat did an actual tech deck skateboarding game. For the Game Boy Color.
Put it in my veins.
Beautiful.
Fingerboarding is so funny. I have a little fingerboard.
Oh, yeah. They're fun little fidget toys. Yeah.
They're fun little fidget toys, but like trying to do a trick on it is just the least dignified I've ever felt in my life. You know, it is the most I've been glad nobody's watching. And I don't usually experience embarrassment very much, but it's just like so dorky. Like the poindextrose that comes off of that is incredible. And then I went on YouTube and watched somebody be really good at it. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty equitable amounts of poindextrose. Like it is respectable. I can't do it, but holy shit.
Yeah. No,
what a hobby.
It's a skill. It's a skill that somebody develops, to what end? To make a YouTube video.
Yeah. It's on what edge do you put it on? Like, how would you compare tech deck skateboarding to cup stacking?
Oh shit.
Which one's cooler?
I think cup stacking is actually a more impressive, like, physical or dexterity, like dexterity feat.
Okay.
You know, I am more impressed by those videos than I am by somebody doing fingerboarding stuff.
I think fingerboarding is slightly cooler because it gets a little bit of stink from skateboarding.
It does.
Just a little bit.
It drafts off of skateboarding a little bit.
And cup stacking is not a cool activity.
No, I don't know. Like, my exposure to cup stacking was the thing that was it was like the girls' activity in gym. Like, while the guys were going and doing like mat ball or football or whatever, is the girls stay in and they do cup stacking, which sounded much more fun to me. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's not a sport.
No, not at all. Uh huh. Like high school.
You may have told me that before, but that's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, that's like how I used to do square dancing. I don't think they do that anymore, but like gym always has, you know, here's some sports and here's some exercise and here's some, here's a parachute. Fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of that shit. Here's a earth ball. Fuck with it.
Yeah.
You know?
We had a whole unit on like lawn sports.
Yeah.
So that's where I learned to play bocce, and croquet and stuff like that. Those are fun. I like
those
lawn
are
sports.
Fun. Yeah. Cup stacking is just a weird one for that. It'd be like having a unit in Rubik's cubes.
Yeah.
Or something, you know, which again sounds cooler than what you usually do in gym.
Yeah.
It just does. It underlines kind of the farseness of that class.
Yep. But it's just like how aggressively gendered it was surprising to me even at the time.
It's really weird because like when I've seen cup stacking competitions and stuff or seen things on YouTube, it's kind of a sausage fest.
Oh, huh.
We really got to get some more diversity in cup stacking because like it is a total boys club and this is the problem of our age.
And you know what? It might even have just like that. That might not be an Ohio curriculum thing. I think it might've just been something that the girls' gym teacher really liked.
It sounds a lot like the result of a shrug, like a meaningful shrug. I need something for the girls to do. I don't know.
And just
cups are cheap.
Just a real Title IX failure is what we're talking about. Yeah.
But it does. I agree. It sounds more fun than the alternative.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, more fun than getting smeared across a muddy field by a puberty monster.
Yeah. Or smearing somebody across a muddy field as a puberty monster. Like, it sounds less fun than that as well.
Yeah.
Something that is, I'm not trying to turn the show into just getting old. The show. Okay. But thinking about getting smeared across the muddy field by a puberty monster, kind of realizing one of the things, and this is depression, but I don't like using my body.
Okay.
Right now. Mm-hmm. I'm realizing like, I don't know, it's cool that I have a physical instrument and I can manipulate things in the world. Like ideally, you know, that's, I want to be in that situation. I don't think I like it right now though.
Okay.
Yeah. I guess that's more depression than getting old.
Your body has not been treating you kindly.
For the last couple of years, my body's not.
Yeah. Good to me. You know, so like I do not begrudge it makes sense to me why you would want to stick it to your body a little bit. Why yeah. you don't. Yeah. Yeah.
And talking some shit. Speaking of depression, can I tell you a funny metric that I thought of while going to bed last night?
Sure. Speaking of funny, speaking of depression,
can I tell you something funny? Yeah. I think one of the things that, you know how, so sometimes this is going to be a long walk.
Okay.
Sometimes I think about, you know, a metric by which you could judge somebody once they're gone.
Okay.
You know, not necessarily like the things they left behind, but like the actions. Mm-hmm. And a funny thing that I thought to judge me by once I die is, you know, I might have been X, Y, or Z as a person, but I was a good husband because I talked a lot of sugar about my wife on therapy intake forms. Like, can I pile up the amount of sugar I talk about my wife and how much I emphasize she's not the problem on therapy intake forms? Like, and I fucking go out of my way. Like, yeah, it causes problems because I get anxious and I worry about how that will impact thing. My wife is a fucking champ. She's the most understanding person I've ever met. Don't come for her. I'll kill you. Like, it turns me into Mr. Boop.
Oh, yeah.
You know, as a thing.
I can see that. Yeah. Yeah.
So does it, if you just had all of those text boxes together, it would tell like kind of a funny story, you know, like,
well, and I'm glad that, you know, I'm glad that there is a central body that is keeping track of all of that.
Yes. I'm glad. And that it's public record. Mm-hmm. I'm glad that RFK has it.
Yeah. People can go find that now.
Yeah. There's one person I want to have it. It's him.
So, yeah, that's a pretty good metric, I think, yeah. You know? Yeah. I mean, to some degree, that is a bit of a measure of being just being a wife guy.
That is
but
true.
Like, I don't know, successful in marriage is a pretty good thing to be. So,
yeah. And degrees of life guy attitude. Yes. Like, it doesn't always have to be a qualitative judgment. You could just decide how much of a wife guy I was when I died.
Oh, there are so many different kinds of wife guys. Like, you know, the category of wife guy does include don't email my wife.
Yeah.
Right.
Wife guy is a misused thing, I think. Like, it is too broad to be useful.
It is way too broad to be useful. I think it got solidified during a time when there were just like, you just kind of ran into, there was just like a new guy very frequently.
It was the main character Twitter stuff. It was the 2010s version of a lol cow that we had, but on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that was a wife guy because you had something weird about your wife. But then somewhere it became like, oh, you know, Robert Smith from The Cure is a consummate wife guy, and that's awesome. Like, that guy just sings about monogamy and has been with his wife forever. He loves her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that version of the wife guy is what I try to be. I try not to be weird about my wife.
Mm-hmm.
So much so that I think, like, if you're not a wife guy, kind of what are you doing?
If you're married, but you clearly... Oh, no. Yeah, that's the classic honeymooners thing. Like, the fact that became an archetype for marriage and people just kind of, like, stuck with that as... You know, happy wife, happy life, you know, just kind of like it is very bleak.
Obviously, like that kind of sitcom thing really, really sucks. But even like a more neutral, like, you should be real fucking into your partner.
Yeah.
Like, not just kind of into him.
Yeah.
You should be real into him. You got to be a wife guy.
Mm-hmm.
Wife gal, you know, whatever. You got to get real into that, I think.
Yeah.
Because otherwise, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why are you there?
Yeah.
You know, it took me a long time to learn that, but like, I think it's real.
Also, I think that just like general wife guy is just like somebody who is enjoying monogamy and really, really enjoys the company of the person they have chosen to, you know, to partner with. Like, mm-hmm. that as a, you know, that as a default is very broad. When wife guys were, you know, more the main character deal, it was email wife guy. It was cliff wife guy.
I've got chubby. I love my curvy wife guy. Like, you know, he did a rap, right?
Oh, absolutely. No, he tried to milk that. I'm positive.
Yeah. 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 There's a rap about the curvy wife guy. And it generated, as was the style at the time in the 2010s, it generated discourse.
Mm-hmm.
It became a whole thing about, you know, your sexual preferences or what turns you on is not praxis.
Yeah.
Which, again, is a true thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You're not.
Like, you can be turned on by curvy people, but that doesn't mean you're morally good because you're doing fat acceptance. Yeah. It's just the way your brain is wired.
Yeah.
It makes you horny.
Mm-hmm. You could be attracted to trans people, but still have horrible, still treat them horribly. See the American South. Porn sites.
See senators.
The
things that make you horny are not virtuous.
No, God, no.
You know, they're not sinful. You know, in most cases, but like they're not virtuous.
Yeah.
It's true. You get some curvy little spore guys in this.
You do. Yeah.
I don't love my curvy spores.
No. I despise my curvy spores. I have consigned my curvy spore to a file on my computer that I'm never going to open again.
Yeah. This is going in the dump it. The famous abject suffering segment, lump it or dump it.
Yeah.
We got to dump this one.
We got to dump this one. Gary, I was looking at the wrong Wikipedia page for head cases. I was looking at a British show.
Okay.
Incorrect. The cast on head space cases, 2001 show or 2005 show that ran for two episodes. You have Chris O'Donnell in the lead, which is whatever. You have Adam Goldberg as secondary lead. You have Richard Kind. You have fucking Richard Kind, Gary, and you have Ray Seahorn. Come on.
Early Ray Seahorn.
Yeah.
Like before we knew that she was great.
Mm-hmm.
It's a fucking 60-minute show. It was supposed to, like, the guy, the YouTuber, described it as, like, bad entourage.
Oh. Good. Described it as a smelly sewer.
Yeah. This is kind of something in an unsanitary toilet.
Yeah.
I love that it aired two episodes, and there are five unaired episodes.
Oh gosh, that's there are so shows. Beautiful. There are shows that were canceled in the middle of the airing of their first episode.
Yeah, just like dump it. Very funny. Yeah.
Yeah.
What should people do if they like this show?
If people like this show, they can go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv and kick us a few bucks a month. Get whole bonus shows where we do some of our best work, I think.
Yeah. Fun stuff. Mm-hmm. We think it's a really good value. And if you like us, this is how you continue to let us exist.
Yes.
That is the way. It's direct. Direct support. You can also leave us ratings and reviews. You can tell your friends. You can post about us on message boards. You can listen to other stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there may be stuff you like that you don't know about.
Go check it out.
Yeah. And you can join us and thank our producer, Gwen.
Thank you so much, Gwen.
As always. Yeah. What should they do until next time?
Until next time, this has been Abject Suffering, where run your little legs off, centipede. You got Nikes for all of them?